Seaman. This is another in a series of interviews with the teams that are planning on competing in this year's second annual Space Elevator Games. These games, part of NASA's Centennial Challenge, will be held in Las Cruces, New Mexico, on October 19th, 20th, and 21st. For more information about the competition, visit their official website, www.elevator2010.org. Today we are talking with Michael Fisher, another returning veteran of the 2005 Games. Michael is the leader of Team Number 141, the Fisher 28 team, based out of Auburn, California. Team 141 is one of the 20 teams competing in this year's Climber Power Beaming event. Hello, Michael, and welcome. So my first question to you is this. What is the significance of your climber's name, Fisher 28? What does that mean?
Well, Fisher's my last name, and 28 is one of my favorite numbers.
You a numerologist?
Well, it's a perfect number, which has got some lucky properties, so there's a lot of Fishers. That's why I couldn't just say Fisher.
Tell us a bit about your climber. I understand from the Elevator 2010 webpage on your team that you guys are using a Stirling steam engine as your power source.
Yeah, it's not really a steam engine, though. In fact, it's a Stirling engine. I'm using a helium, pressured helium as a working fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is if you have higher pressure gases, you can get more energy density out of it. Now, I'm a novice at all this because I'm really a software programmer, but it's nice to get your hands dirty, you know. So I've been researching it for the last year and a half, moving along. My biggest issue is getting the... I didn't get very far last year because there was a leak, and I'm trying to plug that leak. So that's where I'm at now.
I understand from the webpage or somewhere I read that, yeah, you guys did suffer a leak in your climber last year, and so you very generously donated your reflector to the Star Climber team, another Stirling engine entrant. And I was wondering if you guys had a mutual assistance pact or something like that.
No. What happened was, since I had the leak, I had issues. In fact, the British Columbia team, they had an issue, too. The energy we were getting off the light was really low. Everybody was, it was off by a factor of 5 or 10 from what we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lent him my, I had a really neat cap, 350 Farad caps. And so I lent him those, and he used those to charge up while he climbed up the ribbon. He was the only guy that managed to climb at all.
Oh, yeah, that's the USST team. They got up 40 feet or 60 feet or something like that.
Yeah. So that was good. But yeah, that was just, I was there, I had the stuff. Because it was like, it didn't look like anybody was going to go anywhere. So at least he got some place up, somewhere up there. Of course, this year you aren't going to be able to use that.
What did you and your team learned from the 2005 competition?
Oh, lots of fun stuff. It's a lot of fun for one. And learned the energy, power beaming is harder than anybody probably anticipated. It's a matter of, you know, getting enough. In fact, this year, most everybody's going to have their own light source. And I think in order to get into the contest this year, you're going to have to... done a video of the thing climbing, because when I was there last year, I mean, everybody was working, you know, around the clock. Some had been there for a week, I'd only been there for 4 days, some had been there for a week, doing last minute adjustments, you know, trying to add the solar cells and all this other fun stuff. I do know, I think I'm the only Stirling engine left. One guy got wiped out by the Hurricane Katrina, ended up joining another group. And then Star Climbers, they're doing a compact, I guess, steam engine.
Well, I talked to them a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and they said that they were still doing the Stirling engine, but, you know, they were ready to pull it if they weren't going to get enough power off of it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
I just think that's such an out-of-the-box thinking.
You know? Well, yeah, I mean, I've got pretty out-of-the-box thinking. I'm the only one who's not using rollers to climb the ribbon.
You're not?
Nope. What I'm doing is I'm using momentum transfer. So I've got this little heavy piston in my Stirling engine.
Uh-huh.
So the piston bobs up and down. Well, there's, you know, Newton's law where, you know, equal directional opposite. So my piston's bobbing up and down. Well, it's bobbing up. The whole casing that it's in bobs down and vice versa. So what I do is I got a clamping system where it actually floats up the ribbon for most of the cycle, and then it clamps from going down. So it's kind of, somebody mentioned, maybe inchworms its way up.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I don't know if I'm going to get it working this year, but I'm going to keep at it until I, you know, because it's just, well, I think it's cool. And the reason the way I thought of that was, you know, the real elevator, it's going to be a pretty long climb. And the less wear and tear on the elevator and the climber, the better. So this would be kind of like a, it works on the same principle as a rocket in a way, right? Just momentum transfer.
Right, right.
That what it's doing is it's using the elevator ribbon to do little rocket jumps instead of big ones.
So you're clamping basically on the where it would be pushed down,
yeah.
And you're unclamping when it would be moving up.
Yeah, and the surprising part for me, the more I look into this thing, I only have to clamp like at worst case 10% of the time. The other 90% is just going up.
Are you controlling that with software, or is that just
mechanical? Yeah, I've got an accelerometer, a really neat little accelerometer that will work out to 25 G. And so what I want to do is monitor the acceleration, integrate it to get me the velocity. As long as my velocity is positive upward, I don't clamp. As soon as it goes negative, I'll clamp. And then I'll either time it or I can use a force transducer, depending on how I want to do things. And then I'll just let go at the right time, and it'll go back up again. So it's going to be kind of interesting. The one I've got right now that I'm working on should be about 5 hertz. So it's not too fast of a clampy clamp. It's going to look like it's kind of shake while vibrating its way up or something.
So you're actually writing your own firmware for this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like what kind of processor are you using?
Oh, it's a PIC, a microchip.
Uh-huh.
And but I got my neat little accelerometer. That thing is cool.
I think it's brilliant.
Well, I like the idea. I just have to keep at it.
How are you testing your climber? What kind of a test setup do you have?
Well, I've got a ladder, and I've got that 6-foot ribbon, and I'm going to have the ribbon hang in the middle of the ladder, and then I've got, well, actually for testing purposes, there's a lot of different subsystems, right? So what I'm doing, like the climber itself, I bought this neat little ceramic heater that's going to let me heat one end to about 1,000 degrees. And I'm going to try that out first, and hopefully it'll start shaking up and down. Once it does that, man, I think that's the biggest thing. Once you get to that point,
yeah.
Everything else is downhill from there.
Yeah.
Or uphill.
Or uphill, yeah, exactly.
And so that's going to make sure that the whole system works pretty well. And then from there, I've got a Fresnel lens and a bunch of other fun stuff to now take that with the light cavity and then see if I can get, you know, maybe that one.
Were you glad that the games were postponed from their originally scheduled date?
Yeah, it helps to have a little time. I can't believe how long it's going to take. I think I'm going to have the league solved next week. I hope I do. It's just been a real challenge. I end up getting some stainless steel flanges, which, of course, adds to the weight. But I think they're going to do the trick. Once I get to, and I've also lowered the pressure. Originally it was about 25, 26 atmospheres, and now I'm down to only 10, so I'm a lower pressure and all that. But I think it'll move. I don't know if it'll hit a meter per second, but it'll be decent.
That was going to be my next question. Do you like your team's chances this year? Do you think you'll make a meter per second?
I don't think I'll make a meter per second this year, but maybe next time. I just want to prove the concept because my view is a little more out there. It'll be real exciting this year, though. I think we'll have somebody get it.
You were mentioning that they might want videos from the teams, that the
elevator.
Oh yeah.
Well, what happens with it this year? We had, you know, basically everybody last year was working on it the last minute and whatever. So this year, because everybody has their own light sources. competition is you have to send in a video of your climber climbing a ribbon before they let you come. So we've got about, 30 entries or something like that, 20, 30 entries.
Yeah, there's 18 on the climber,
yeah.
18 climbers, and then two of the climber teams are also competing in the tether competition.
So there's best guess is that in reality, we're probably going to get a dozen that will actually be able to climb. But it's a little harder than you think, especially when you're doing some of the power teams. I mean, it's not easy, but I think most of the climbers that we had last year actually could have climbed the ribbon if they had enough juice. Mechanically, they were just fine.
So I think you've kind of answered this, but what made you and your team decide to participate in the Space Elevator Games? Is it just a fun engineering project, or are you a space junkie?
I'm an Apollo kid. It takes me back a couple of years. But with Apollo, we're going to explore the solar system and stuff. And I think the elevator gives us the promise back. The promise for Apollo was always, for me, I thought, was exploring the solar system. And now with the elevator, I think it's all possible again.
So tell us a little bit about Michael Fisher.
I'm a software engineer. Been in the business for about 30 years. I used to work at Rockwell for a few years back in the early 80s on the space shuttle. That was kind of fun.
I'm sure.
So I kind of always done, I've always liked physics. And so, I do software for a living, but this whole get your hands dirty stuff is really, it's kind of nice to see what you do. Yeah, the whole mechanical stuff is really fascinating to see this stuff, just animated doing stuff.
Who else is on your team?
Pretty much just me, but when the competition kind of comes around, my son does a little bit helps me carry things around and all that, make sure I don't do anything stupid.
So no other local schools or businesses working with you on the project?
No, just me for now. We'll see what happens later, but right now I'm just too busy working on it to, ironing out ideas and stuff to get much better. I am, I found a machinist and I found a welder and I found there's a whole bunch of great, facilities if you know where to look. And so I've kind of got my crew that way, hire them to do this or that or the other thing for me.
Well, yeah, as long as you know what you want.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The trick was figuring that out. That took probably most of last year, but it's quite an education.
So you definitely think that, competing last year, you and maybe the other teams that competed last year have got a leg up on the,
on
the new ones this coming this year.
I think one of the smartest things that there was a team from U of M, University of Michigan.
Right.
They came out last year to kind of assess things, and I think that was a really smart idea. Same thing with Virginia Tech. So they'll probably, they almost learned as much as we did, not quite, because they were there and they saw all the fun we were having, or not.
Yeah.
And so they'd be better prepared, but we'll see what happens. There may be some surprises.
Any other thoughts you'd like to share with us?
I went to the International Space Development Conference last May.
Yes.
And I gave a little paper, which was kind of fun.
Oh, you did? You presented there?
Yeah. On my, I called what I think about using momentum transfer on the elevator.
Is that on the ISDC website?
Well, it ought to be. I don't know. That was kind of fun. And anyway, it was a little, I won't say, pessimistic. The elevator is going to be a real big challenge. I just think, don't get, there have been papers recently about how you can't build the tube big and strong enough and all that. Just want to tell everybody, don't be discouraged. We're in this for the long haul, and I think it's going to happen. What I always love is I always think of, I kind of harken back to where I keep hearing about all this, impossible stuff before. Hey, we must be on the right track. People are telling us what we're doing is impossible.
I think that's a great attitude. Michael, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. I wish you and your team the best of luck this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the competition. And for all of you listening out there, please be sure to visit the Fisher 2018 page at the Elevator 2010 website, www.elevator2010.org. And you can visit us at the Space Elevator blog at www.spaceelevatorblog.com, where you can get the latest Space Elevator news. So long, everybody.